you guys. Time for another book review. This is my Tomes of Terror show. The book I'm talking about today actually came out quite a while ago, and I can't promise that I'm not going to spoil things outright. Like I said, I usually try not to, but to talk about the book, you do have to talk about some various plot developments. So if you don't want to know anything about anything that happens in this book, then obviously you need to read the book and or see the movie, which came out in 2008, and then come back and watch this review, because I'm gonna talk about what happens in the book, and if you don't want to know any of that, then you're gonna find out. So this book is The Ruins by Scott Smith. Now, Scott Smith, I think he's probably best known for writing A Simple Plan, which came out in 1993, which was like a crime thriller. And that was also made into a movie. It was very, very well received, both the book and the movie. And this is his second book, and this book didn't come out until 2006. So he takes a long time to write a book, is what I'm saying. Which is kind of a shame, because even though I haven't read A Simple Plan, I think like a lot of people have talked about like how fucking awesome that book is. I've seen the movie, but a lot of people have talked about how awesome that book is, so I'm sure I will eventually get around to it, because I'm pretty sure I've never read it. But the interesting thing about this book is that I heard a lot of other people talking about it. You know, there's a lot of reviews of it on Goodreads. There's a lot of people talking about it on, you know, various other book review channels. But the weird thing about it is that I saw the movie version of this first without realizing, I guess, that it was based on this particular novel. So I want to get a little bit into that too, like how the book and the movie differed. The movie is actually pretty good. It's like and Scott Smith also wrote the screenplay for the movie, so he's adapting his own work, so it's not like somebody else took it and like mangled the story or anything. But it made like a lot of changes that I thought were kind of interesting or strange, but I can kind of see why they made the changes that they made in particular. The movie, I think I watched it on Tubi now that I'm thinking about it, so it's, I don't know if it's on there anymore, like as of, you know, this is a few days before Christmas, 2020. So I think I just watched it a couple of months ago. So if you want to see it, it's actually a pretty decent movie. Jenna Malone is in it, and some other people, like that guy that was in that Beatles movie. I can't remember what his name is right now. But yeah, so it was a pretty decent movie, and it follows the story kind of faithfully, although some stuff that happens to the characters is like switched around, and you know, there are various other things, and like the ending is different. So I might get a little bit into that, like, as we talk about. So like I said, there might be some spoilers in here. So if you don't want to know anything about it, then you might want to check out and then go either read the book or watch the movie and then come back. So, okay, The Ruins is basically, it's a pretty simple survival horror story in the sense that an aspect of nature is the villain or the antagonist, but it's not like regular nature. There's some of that, but there's also kind of like heightened nature. Let's say it like that. So basically our characters are, it's two couples, Jeff, Amy, Stacy, and Eric. Now, I think Jeff and Amy are both med students, and Eric and Stacy, I can't remember what they studied, but they're like all college students. And I guess they're getting ready to graduate, or they're getting ready to have some big milestone or whatever. And they've decided to take a vacation to Cancun. So they've been in Cancun for a little while, like a few days, a week, something like that. And the first part of the book is kind of, you know, the first part of the book is actually pretty brief, and it like kind of just talks about, you know, the shit that they did and, you know, what they've been up to and what happens to them. Now, at some stage, they're kind of hanging out on the beach and they meet this German dude named Matthias, and he's, you know, he speaks perfect English. So they kind of start hanging out with him. And then they kind of start hanging out with these three Greek dudes who they don't speak any English. All they speak is Greek, and nobody along with them speaks, you know, none of our main protagonists speak any Greek. So nobody knows like what the fuck any of them are saying. But they basically call them Pablo, Juan, and Don Quixote, because they don't know their names. So that's just what they call them. And basically these are just like a bunch of fun loving, drunk ass Greeks that it's just, you know, they're going around with backpacks full of tequila and whatnot. So they're all kind of having a good time. Now it comes to pass that Matthias has come to Mexico on vacation with his brother Heinrich. Now he tells our main foursome that Matthias met this like hot lady archaeologist on the beach and has gone up to help them at their dig. Like there's some Mayan ruins that they have this archaeological dig going at. And Matthias is like, Heinrich really needs to like get his ass back here because, we're supposed to fly back to Germany, in a few days, and I haven't heard from him and he hasn't come back, so I need to go and look for him. So everybody decides, wouldn't it be a cool idea to go to this archaeological dig and see these Mayan ruins, which are apparently like some undiscovered Mayan ruins or something like that, because obviously there's archaeologists there and it's kind of a big deal. So our four protagonists and one of the Greeks, Pablo, decides to accompany Matthias to these ruins in the Mayan jungle to try to find his brother and also to kind of have like an adventure. So they basically start going out into the countryside. Like they get a guy who, gives them a ride out there. There's this really, really remote like Mayan village, and the people there are acting really weird. They're like just like kind of staring at them. It's like I don't know if they actually don't understand what they're saying or they're just pretending not to. So basically, they get out of this truck. This guy is giving them a ride, and he doesn't really speak much English either. But he says to Amy, I believe, "Hey, that's a bad place. You don't want to go there." But she doesn't really, she's like weirded out, but then she's kind of like, it'll be all right, whatever. So what ends up happening is that they go like down this trail and there's this hill and it has all these gorgeous vines with these really, really pretty red flowers on them. Now, Amy is trying to take a picture of the whole group, like, look at this cool adventure we're on in Mexico or whatever. And while she's taking the picture, she's like backing up to get everybody in the picture. And her foot basically goes up on this hill that has all these vines on it. At which point, a bunch of the Mayans, like from the village, kind of encircle the hill over the source and they start like shooting at them. Like they all have bows and arrows and guns and stuff. So they basically herd this group of tourists onto this hill and they won't let them leave. So the Mayans, like they set up camps like all around the perimeter of this vine-covered hill and will not let them leave. Like they set up little camps, they got fires and everything and little tents and whatnot. And basically they just sit there and watch them like in shifts, like 24/7, and they will not let them set foot off of this hill. So once the gang discover that the Mayans are not going to let them leave the hill, they go up the hill and discover that there is a what looks like the remnants of the archaeological dig, like at the top of the hill. There's kind of a big shaft, like a mine shaft, and then there's a thing with like a windlass, you know what I mean, with a rope hanging down. And they can't find anybody. There's a couple of tents there, but one of them's kind of torn up. There's a bunch of backpacks with shit in it, like clothes and notebooks and shit, but there's nobody around. So everybody's like, huh, I wonder what happened there. So they don't really know what happened, you know what I'm saying? So at this stage, they're kind of freaking out a little bit, and it comes to pass that they hear a noise down in the mine shaft that sounds like a cell phone. Now, I can't remember the reason exactly, like why none of their cell phones are working. Like, I think it's like it wasn't charged or somebody left it or something like that. There was like some excuse. And like I said, this was 2006 when this book was written, so it's not like, a lot of people have cell phones, but they weren't as ubiquitous, I guess, as they are nowadays. So they think they hear a cell phone ringing down in the shaft, so they decide that that one of them is going to lower themselves down into the shaft to try to find the cell phone so they can call for help. Have a helicopter or some shit like that, like come to rescue them because the Mayans won't let them leave this hill. While they're doing that, which seems like a good idea, the rope breaks. It's been sitting there for like a long time, but then it seems like the vine is kind of like around it, and then it kind of burns through, like it has this acidic sap or whatever. And so the rope breaks, and Pablo, the Greek guy, he falls to the bottom of the shaft and ends up breaking his back. So then one of the other guys, Eric, has to lower himself down there, And they have to figure out what's going on. He actually ends up, because the rope's not long enough, and then he actually ends up injuring his leg, like, on the way down as well. So things just get progressively shittier from there. As I said, this would be bad enough that you're just like stuck on this hill, you know, with a dude that's injured and they can't move him, obviously, because his back is broken. They don't really have any supplies other than, you know, just like a day or two's worth of stuff. Like they had a bunch of water, they had some tea, they had a little bit of food, like some protein bars and shit like that. But, you know, nothing like, they didn't have like a lot of camping supplies or anything. Now, there were some supplies like at the campsites that they found, but not enough shit to like sustain you for very long. So, as I said, this would be bad enough if just this one guy was injured. You know, and then the other guy was injured, and they can't get off the hill because otherwise they'll get shot. But then it turns out, as the book slowly unfolds, that there's something very unusual about these vines that cover the hill. Now, as I said, if you don't want to know anything about what the deal with these vines is, then check out now because I'm gonna say what it is. So basically, these vines are, it's never really explained, which I think is actually good because if you found yourself in this situation, like if you were just up on this hill and these vines were doing this shit, you wouldn't know like what the explanation was because it's all kind of from their point of view. So they never really say what these vines are or like how they evolved or what, you know, what exactly. But the thing about it is that they almost seem like a sentient organism in the sense that, I mean, the first things that they do, they're flesh eating for one thing. So they basically, if there's a body or something, because they do find some bodies later on of like some of the archaeologists and stuff, it'll just eat the flesh right off your bones and just leave the bones there. And it drinks blood, it drinks vomit, like any kind of like organic material, like if you throw up or something, because a couple of the characters do, then the vine like will send a tendril out and like drink it. So it feeds on organic material. And as the story goes on, you also discover that the vines can pre-plan, they can. They seem to be like aware of what the people are thinking and like how best to get to them. It can also mimic sounds and voices and things of that like perfectly. So it can do all this kind of stuff. And it sounds dumb, like when I say it out loud like that. But when you're reading it, it's not dumb. It's actually like really, really creepy. And you know what I mean? So I feel like, because I read like a bunch of reviews of this. And this is another book that seems like it was either, you know, I love it 5 stars or this was stupid 1 star. So I think a lot of your enjoyment of this book has to come from how well you can suspend your disbelief. If you do not believe that there are these vines and they are, you know, sentient and have like a human-like intelligence, can mimic people's voices and stuff, it's, to me, it didn't seem all that absurd because I mean, plants can do some weird shit and like animals can do weird shit. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay, so I'm rolling with it. Some people said, oh, it's like Little Shop of Horrors or whatever, but it's like, it didn't strike me like that at all. I think it's because the way this is written, it's interesting because it's a fairly long book. It's about 370 pages, more or less. And there are no chapter breaks. It just kind of goes, I mean, every now and then there's like a little break. You know what I mean? Where there's like an extra space and like a drop cap or whatever, but it's not like a different chapter. So it just kind of goes, you know, through the whole thing without really, you know, having any major stops. And it kind of switches back and forth from character to character. So you're kind of inside the heads of, you know, all four of the Americans and also of Matthias, never of Pablo though, because I guess, you know, he doesn't speak any English, so I guess we're not well, and plus he gets wounded like almost immediately, like when they get up on the hill, so it's like he's kind of unconscious or fucked up like most of the time, so we don't really know what he's thinking about, but it kind of just drifts back and forth between the perspectives of all four of the characters. Now, it's interesting about this because at first, the characters come across as, other than Matthias, the American characters come across as not, I didn't find them assholic necessarily. Like, so I've seen some reviewers say that they thought that they were. And they didn't strike me as particularly idiotic. I mean, they did do some dumb shit, but it was dumb shit that I can see people doing. Like, it was realistic dumb shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of the shit they were thinking about, like they were trying to, you know, deny what was happening, then and that kind of thing, which seemed to me a very realistic response. So, but the interesting thing was that I think at first the four characters kind of just blurred together. Like, I couldn't really tell one from the other. But then as the story goes on, like each one starts to develop their own distinct personalities. You spend more time with them and you spend more time inside their heads. And I think that was kind of a cool way to do it. This is a very deliberate book. I mean, this takes place over the course of a few days. And it's pretty much all, I mean, other than a brief prologue where they're still, you know, they're on the beach and they're thinking about their vacation and stuff. Once they get to the hill and they get up on the hill, the whole thing is set on top of this hill with these vines. And it's just basically a struggle for survival. You know, they don't have that much food. They're pretty much okay for water because, you know, they're in the jungle and it rains like all the time and they're like, you know, rigging up things to catch water and stuff. But they don't have a lot of food and they have to ration it out. And then they have to contend with the Mayans. You know, they can't get down the hill. You know, they can't escape because they've made like this circle all the way around and they're always watching them. And then they have to contend with the fact that that these vines are doing this shit that vines should not be able to do, and there's like some denial there and stuff. So I think that was like a really good way of doing it. So like I said, this is one that I didn't, because I think I say a lot on some of my reviews that, you know, I just sat down and I read the whole thing in one sitting. This one, for some reason, took me a while to get through, not because it was boring or not because anything like that. It's just because the pace of it is so deliberate in the sense that the horrific events just keep ratcheting up slowly, up and up and up, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's almost kind of like if you sit and read it for too long, it just starts to really bum you out. You know what I mean? Because this is a bleak ass book. Now, it's just descending toward this inevitable conclusion, and it's just as it goes on, you can't imagine that there's going to be any escape from this. It's like this, how are they going to get out of this? Because like I said, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, like as it goes. And you know, as the extent of the vine's abilities like become clearer and clearer, you're just like, there's just no way. You know, there's no way to escape. There's no way to get away from it. It's really, really bleak. And like I said, when you're inside the people's heads and you can kind of like feel their struggles, like and the different things that they're going through, like how they're trying to deal with this just crazy, like impossible situation that there's really no way out of. And it's just so it just keeps getting like just bleaker and bleaker. And I will say too that this book is also very, very gory, very graphic. The movie is actually pretty gory too. There is shit in this where, I mean, because some of the shit that the vines can do, like the vines will just like I said, they're flesh eating. They can get inside your wounds and like, you know, just like tendrils up inside the body. So there's shit like, you know, legs getting amputated. There's people flaying their own skin off. There's like that kind of stuff. So if gore bothers you, if gore bothers you, please do not read this because it's like it starts out, you know, pretty tame, but then it just gets like more and more gory, like as it goes on, and as everything is just like disgusting, but disgusting like in a realistic way. Like this is shit that if you were somehow like put in a situation like this, and like I said, I can understand if, you know, somebody was like, you know, oh, what, intelligent vines? Yeah, I don't think so. But if you just kind of let it, if you just let it be that, like I said, because some plants do weird shit, you know what I mean? It's not that crazy. I didn't find it that crazy, like the premise. I didn't find it that unbelievable. Yeah, it probably would never happen, but it wasn't so outlandish that it took me out of it. I mean, I was like really into it. I was totally buying it too. Like when it got to the point where you know, near the end where like the vines started imitating their voices and like imitating other sounds and stuff, I was just kind of like, oh, well, that's, of course, that's the next horrible thing that it can do. You know what I mean? So it wasn't really like that unbelievable. But yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about too. They made a movie out of this. I think it was like an American-Australian co-production. Like I said, the movie came out in 2008. And I actually wish, This kind of sucks because I actually wish that I had read the book before I saw the movie. Because as I said, when I saw the movie, I just heard somebody else talking about, oh, this is a good movie, instead of like the Yucatan and like it's, pretty gory and fucked up. And so I watched the movie without really realizing that it was based on the novel. So then, like now that I'm reading the novel, and I was just kind of like, so I already kind of knew what was going to happen. Like, so there was no mystery, like leading up to the hill and like why the Mayans were keeping them there and, what the shit, what was going to happen with the vines and stuff. I mean, I saw the movie like long enough ago that I didn't really remember all of the little details, but I do wish that I could have come to the book fresh, not knowing anything about the vine or the vines or like what they could do or anything like that. So that is kind of one regret, but that's not the book's fault, that I ended up seeing the movie first. Now, interestingly, and like I said, this is kind of a spoiler. Well, it's not kind of a spoiler, it is a spoiler. But interestingly, in the movie, they let one of the characters survive, which I can understand why they do that, because like I said, sometimes you can't do shit in a movie that you can get away with in a book. With a book, you can just be totally bleak and fucking depressing and be just like, yeah, we're just gonna kill everybody because that's what would really happen. But I can see that in a movie, which usually, I mean, generally reaches a wider audience than a book does by a quite a large margin. So you're gonna get a lot more blowback if you make a movie that just has like the worst like ending that makes you want to kill yourself. So I can see why Scott Smith opted to, it's the end of the movie isn't like, I wouldn't call it a hopeful ending, but it was certainly like a little bit more of a happy ending, with air quotes, than the book was, because the book ending was a real bummer. I'm gonna say that right now. So basically, if you really like gory survival horror, like I said, there's a very simple primal story. It's just a bunch of people who are kind of not equipped for this shit, who end up in the middle of the jungle and are not prepared for it, and then not only have to contend with that, with like a human threat, but they also have to contend with this crazy vine, like, or series of vines that like knows what they're thinking and like can, anticipate their moves and like can do really horrible shit. So, if that sounds like something that you'd be into, then probably you should read it. Although, like I said, if you've gotten this far, you probably already read it, and if because I just spoiled most of it for you. But if for some reason that didn't dissuade you, then definitely check it out. Like I said, The Ruins, Scott Smith, same guy who wrote A Simple Plan, which I will eventually get around to reading as well. I don't know why he doesn't write more novels. I guess he's got other shit to do, but honestly, it's like, if you're gonna only write a novel every, 13 years or something like that, at least make them really, really good ones. And it does seem like he has succeeded in doing that. So, we'll give him that much anyway. But yeah, so really, really good book. I really do recommend it, but not for people that are real squeamish or anything like that. But survival horror for sure. If you love that kind of stuff, then you will probably really dig this book. So that'll do it for this review, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.